So who watched the brown bag yesterday? You know, we do that devotional on Friday. It's usually around 12:30. And it's just short, 5, 10, well, not take my 5, it's more like 20 minutes. But anywho, right in the middle, this girl logs on and says she's wanting to give up. She's got a little child, and she's wanting to give up. So can somebody please call me? Right in the middle of the message, we're like, hold that thought. We cut that short. Brandy called her. She was in total distress. She's from Michigan, by the way, which was even odd, too. I was like, how in the world did you ever find Misfits live in the middle of the day? She Googled it, and it came up. How about that? So that's one for social media, right? So check this out. She is feeling at the end of a rope, basically. I guess she had a falling out with her mom and dad. They're addicts. She had to get away from them. She has a small child. She's 19 years old, and she's already ready to give up because time is tough, right? So we're driving down the road, and she gave her life to Christ over the phone. Is that awesome or what? We're like, woo! So check this out. While we were doing that, her grandmother had called her right in the middle of this, and God was already showing off right away, just instantly like, okay, grandma called. So now she has a place to stay. How about that? So it was like, God, you were so good, and he's always, always working. Always. You just never know. And it's so cool to be part of it because there's just cool stuff happening everywhere. You just never know what you're going to run into from day to day. God is good. Amen. Yeah. Woo. So I'm like, yeah, enough said. I'm done. That's it. Oh, yeah. So today we're going to be talking about Colossians chapter 3. This was written by Paul. He wrote this letter to the church of Colossae while he was in prison in Rome. And this letter is very similar to Ephesians. But I wanted to zoom in on this chapter. This, do we have the cover page or whatever? It's off with the old and on with the new. Your old nature is gone. The new nature has come. Okay? We don't live in the old man anymore, okay? So Paul is speaking to the early Christians there who had been baptized, born again Christians, in the middle of this stuff that was happening at their church because there was some stuff creeping in, hearsay and relativism and just all kinds of garbage that was coming in. So he was talking about prior about the supremacy of Christ. It's all about Christ and what he's done for us. Amen? So this is about walking out the gospel. The last few messages have been about the gospel, right? You guys remember? There's been several of them. Last week, Richard was talking about forgiveness and how big it is, how he was forgiven for what he had done, and also how he forgave what was done to him. It was a great message. I hope you guys were paying attention because it was good. And if you weren't here, you might want to watch it on Facebook because it's good. Love Richard. He's been a long time... he's a frog kisser. He's supportive of our ministry a long time. We've done a lot of cool things. We got to travel in New Mexico, stuff like that, Oklahoma. We'd meet him there. One of the funny stories about Richard, we were going to Oklahoma to a church there, way out in the middle of nowhere. It seemed like we were never going to get there. We eventually got there. And on the door, we were doing our skit. So we were kind of traveling around doing this skit. So Richard's a pretty big deal, okay? He's been doing it a long time, and he's carved out this niche as an evangelist, and everybody knows who this guy is. So we get there, and on the church door, it says, "Welcome, Misfits." Real big letters. And it says, "Guest speaker, Richard Koss." It was kind of funny, because now he's kind of ribbing us all the time. He's like, "A Misfits for Jesus." You know, it was just funny. We had a great time with him. And I just love when he comes, because there's a spirit about him that you can't resist, right? He's just a good guy. So, but that's Christ working in his life, see? Because he wasn't always like that. If you had read his book or he looked into it, he was a mean scoundrel, for sure. But Christ saved him. So, we'll dive into this. Well, there was something else I wanted to share, and I already forgot what it was. Oh, well, anyway, we'll start. Okay, so this is walking out the gospel. This is living the new life. It says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. So if he's talking about baptism and things where you've surrendered your life and you've been baptized. Hallelujah. We did some of those last weekend, right? I thought you were going to jump in and cannonball. You're so excited. That was great. That was great, man. That was great. I loved it. I love the enthusiasm. But if we go right up, it says, I'll just step back a little bit in chapter 2, up in verse 12, it says, you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to the new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Right? So we're baptized and we're trusting God. So remember, things are kind of crazy. So Paul's telling these people, he says, so set your sights on the realities of heaven. Seek the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Matthew 6:33, right? So when you're thinking about these things, it helps keep the pollutants out, right? And we all struggle, especially the news feeds. That's one of the worst things. I mean, it's one thing to get an update, but if you're watching it all day, they're just pounding your brain. And a lot of it's just negative. A lot of it's false news anyway. You know, really about the only thing that can barely get right is the weather and the sports scores. Other than that, you don't even know what's going on anymore. You know, it's like they make this stuff up for us to believe. Like, I don't know. So I just, yeah. Okay, so in verse 2 it says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. You know, a lot of times we get hung up on what's going on in our life or our jobs. Our jobs take over a lot of our lives, right? We're trying to provide for the family. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. Keep the kids going, blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, another whole week has gone by. That's easy to do if you get caught up in the whirlwind. But he's telling us to think about daily renewing your mind on who Christ is, what he did for you, and be thankful for it. Be thankful. Remember, he saved you from yourself. That's the minimum, right? Because we all had destructive lives. You know, some are better than others, but for the most part, we were all a wreck when we surrendered our life to Christ. And he saved us, put us on the right path. So he says, don't be thinking of the things of the earth, the temporal things that'll fade away. You know, the new house you're going to build, or the new boat you're going to buy, the new car you're going to chase after. That's easy to fall into that trap. You know, we're at war. We're at war with the old nature every day. Because the old nature is comfortable, right? That's how we grew up. That's how we are. It's like, wow, this is comfortable. So now when we're raised to the new life, we have a new life that's better than anything ever. So we're at war with that every single day. Good and bad. What are we going to do today? Who are we going to serve today? Ourselves, or are we going to serve Christ, right? It's just for us to choose. It's a daily decision. And I can tell you one thing, when you walk away for a while, you realize what you've been missing, and it won't take long. Because if you're a follower and you've been a follower for a while, things will be off right away. Right away, you'll already know there's something going on. It's like either you're slipping towards your addiction again, or you're slipping, you're away from your friends, you don't want to talk. Or how about when you're away, when one of your Christian buddies call, you don't even want to answer the phone. You don't want to text back, you know, and that's the first sign. If they do that to you, you know they're running. They don't want to talk to you because they know. You don't even have to say anything. They are already convicted for what they're doing. All we do is show them love, encourage them, come back. Just come back. Get back in the fold. Whatever you have to do, get back in the fold. You know, a lot, it's in the brain most of the time. The devil just puts stuff in your head that's not true. People don't like me. They don't even know I'm gone. All that garbage. Christ loves you, and he wants you back in the family. It's simple. It's hard to do sometimes, and you just have to wade through it and trust God. But if you are thinking of these heavenly things, it's easier to do. Day in, day out, renew your mind. You have to renew your mind because of all the garbage that's coming in. You have to have your boundaries up. So in verse 3 it says, for you died to this life. The old is gone, and your real life that we have now is in Christ. That's the good stuff. We're children of God. If you've opened your heart and you said yes to Jesus, you invited him in, you're born again, you're a child of God. To the ultimate Father who gives us everything that we need. Everything. Now, he doesn't give us everything we want, obviously, but he gives us what we need. Still with me? Okay, let's see here. So in verse 4, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. You know, all of our stories are his glory. What he did in our life. Your story, your story, your story. Everybody in here, it glorifies what he does and what he did for us, right? So why would we want to live the best we can and stay focused on him for what he did for us? You know, it takes a while to unpackage the gift that you were given. But you have to study. You have to worship. You have to be around God's people. You have to open up to this thing, because it doesn't do you any good if you accept a gift. Like, let's say you get a Christmas gift. Hey, thanks. It's from Mel. I'm going to set it over here. I never open it up. But I know he gave me a gift. Thanks, Mel. I don't know what it is because I haven't explored it. Right? So Christ is saying, open the gift. Check it out. Check it out. So our lives are going to be his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things that are lurking in you. So put it to death. That's the old man's gone. The old nature's gone. Let it go. Let it go. We're going to struggle with this thing all the way to the end because we are at war with the old man and the new nature. But we have to be in the fight, or the old man's going to come back, or the old woman. It's a guarantee. If you do not feed the fire will go out. It's that simple. And then you're going to feel distant. You're going to be distant from your church family, and you're going to be distant from Christ too. Because if you're not feeding and renewing your mind, you're just going to drift. We're prone to wander. I've often wondered, and I've said this before, how come we're not prone to walk towards God? If we're God's children, why are we prone to walk off instead of drift to him? Why is that? It's that war that we're in. It's the struggle. It's the devil. We have an enemy that hates us, and he's trying to break up our relationship with Christ. That's his job. Keep us down. But if we're renewing our mind, we're thinking of these heavenly things, and we're doing these things, then it keeps us closer to him. So put to death your old sinful nature. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Man, there's a lot there. Just in that sense, there's a lot there. That kind of sums up the whole world, doesn't it? I mean, just that. It just tells you, because that's what the world, that's what they feed. They feed all of this stuff, all this lust, all the desires. But we're a struggle with that because we're human. But we have an advocate, Jesus. It's Jesus. Let's go to Romans 6:6 real quick, 6 and 7. So we're putting to death our sinful nature. So now it says, we know that our old sinful nature, let me slow down here. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we die with Christ, we are set free from the power of sin through the Holy Spirit. Now we have power to help fight us, right? We have to tap into what's been given to us. That Jesus calling? So we have nothing to do with these things. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. So I want to go back to one I forgot to give you guys, but I want to read this one too. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey him. It kind of explains why the world's jacked up, doesn't it? For all the non-believers, I mean, they're just living their normal lives, not knowing. You know, sometimes when especially when you're on a let's say a spiritual high, and then you run into a non-believer, It's hard not to judge them for what they don't know. You know, because if you share with them and they push it away, they don't want to hear it and things like that, you're just like, man, if you only knew what you're saying no to, but they don't. That's the problem. They just don't know what they don't know. Because obviously if they knew, you'd really be crazy, right? But sometimes when you're just flying at an altitude and you're cruising and everything's going well and you run into a non-believer, it's like, okay, hit the brakes. Just show them the love of Christ. You know, you can't preach to them. You can't beat them over the head. We've tried. Doesn't work. Repent or burn, right? That's from the 70s, right? Repent or burn. You're going to hell. Oh, I can't think of that comedian that was a preacher from St. Louis. Does anybody know, remember who he was? That was part of his act. I can't think of his name. I'll think of it. Let's see. Forgot where I was. Okay, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time. So if you're still holding on to these things that we're talking about, you need to get rid of them. It says, but now is the time to get rid of anger. Anybody struggle with anger? I do. Still do. Try to keep it under control, but sometimes it flies out. Rage. That's when anger gets to the next level. Been there. Malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. He's telling us to get rid of all of this stuff. Just get rid of it. We're supposed to be imitators of Christ, right? So how can we be imitators if we're full of this stuff, full of bitterness? I tell you, when bitterness gets in you, it's hard to get rid of. It really is like a dandelion or something. It just keeps popping up. It's like you can go around the yard and kill them all and they all come back. Bitterness is the same way. I mean, it's one you have to just constantly attack to get rid of it. There's a lot of people struggling with bitterness. Anger. But these aren't things of God. These are things that are counterintuitive to God, right? So if you're full of this stuff, he's telling you to get rid of this. Walk this thing out that you're learning about. Let it go. Don't lie to each other. For you have stripped off your old sin nature and all its wicked deeds. So if you're struggling with lying, which a lot of lying comes with addiction, you know, that's just part of it. You work it out. Just work it out. But if you're faithful to Christ, you will be able to walk it out through the Holy Spirit. He will help you get through it. That's what it says. It says he's there to help us. But we have to tap into the source that's been given to us. We cannot do this on our own. Because Paul's, I noticed one thing in here. Everything, a lot of these things were action, like put to death, do things. We have to do our part. But God's there to help us. But it's on us too. We can't just take it in and expect things to change. That we have to do our part. We have to walk this thing out. It's not going to be easy, obviously. But it gets better when you're in the groups, you're worshiping God. Do you guys like the worship music tonight? Yeah. That was awesome. Why don't you guys do a great job? I love worship music because, like you said, Alpha, when you're having a bad day or just maybe just a normal day, just put on some worship music and it does something to you. It's alive because a lot of it's scripture. You know, and he's always talking about the goodness of God. And when you start singing that and thinking about that, like he's telling us to think about these things, it changes us from the inside, which will flush out all the anger and all the bitterness and everything else that we struggle with. Amen. And generally, people who say they're Christians and they're just foul-mouthed, they're off the chart, and all that, you have to wonder if they're even saved. They say they're Christians, but are they? You're not a good example. You know, if you're holding on to all this stuff and it's just constant bitterness everywhere you go and you're spewing out anger and all this stuff, you got to wonder, are you saved? If you are, you've been away. It's that simple, because if you're feeding your brain the word, you're going to change. You're going to. It's alive. It's teaching you. It's telling you what to do. It's reminding you what Christ has done for you. It says, Be like Christ. Be imitators. Read the word. Worship. Be in groups. Come to church. Hang out. Fellowship with other believers. That's the only way we can get through this thing. There's a few Lone Ranger Christians out there right now that we know that we're part of this family. And they're struggling with a lot of things. And it's generally just as easy to come back and assimilate to the group. It's not that big a deal. You know? And I love that because when people do come that have been away, the love comes right back. And that's the awesome. Because they're friends. They're family, right? It's like, where you been? I'm glad you're here. Okay, let's move forward. Who cares what you've been through? Let's go. Let's get back on track. We're here to help. So don't lie to each other because you stripped off your old sinful nature. So put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. All through Scripture is telling us to know your Creator and to become like Him. Become like Him. He's turning us, or He's changing us from the inside out. He changes our attitude, changes our behavior, He changes everything when we seek Him. And that's part of His promise. If you seek me, you will change. Seek the kingdom, seek the Lord, and see what happens. I challenge you. If you've been away, look into it and see what happens. I guarantee. If you're a true believer, you've been born again, God is for you. Your shirt says, God's not mad at you. Because He's not. He's not mad at us. He might. Exactly. So why try to hide it, right? Just get it out in the open, shine some light on it, rally the troops, and let's move forward. You know, it's really easy. I know it's very, very hard to do because we all struggle with something. And a lot of times we don't want other people to know or embarrassment or whatever. But we're all part of a family that want to encourage each other to keep going, to heal. The ultimate is to see people healed. See them off drugs. See their marriages restored. See their family restored. All that. We want to see Christ move. Right? Alpha, you got your kids back? That was awesome going through that. That was a long journey, right? But you never gave up. And you had encouragement for people to tell you, keep going. Don't listen to the courts. Do what they tell you to do. Keep going. Keep going. Look what happened. God came through, right? A lot of people praying for you. So now we're praying for the children. Help them, Jesus. Teach them to be imitators of Christ and not imitators of Alpha, right? Come on, man. No, we love you, Alpha. Just having a little fun. So put on your new nature and be renewed. I love that because in the new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. Jesus tore down all the barriers with everybody. He doesn't look at anybody any less than any other. It's not like us where we judge people, things like that. But Christ wants all to come to repentance. He wants everybody in the whole world, doesn't matter if they're Hindus or whatever, He wants them too. You know? God is good and He's working some mighty things, so you just never know what's going to happen. You know, I was thinking of this message and it was like, you know, there's a few new believers in here, but it's kind of a reminder for the people who've been walking a long time too. You know, sometimes, like Tim was talking about, sometimes we just get tired and just come to church. That's all we do. There's so much more to your Christian walk than just one day of the week coming to church. I mean, it's good you're here, and we're glad you're here, and we're hoping you're getting something out of it. But you need to be involved. You need to take it to the next level because you will grow. You seek, you will find. You will grow. It's a guarantee. It makes life so much easier when you're in the fold. I was listening to some songs, some worship music today, and they were three or four of them in a row were talking about how good God is and how good it is to be in His presence and how bad it was when you weren't. So You know, it's like kind of like a barometer of how you are. You can tell if you've been reading or you've been worshiping or anything like that. Because if you haven't, you're probably like a dried up plant. You need to water it. So water it. Give it some light and water it. So who has a garden this year? Everybody have gardens? It's kind of fun though, isn't it? A little bit of gardening. I just have some tomatoes and just watching them produce. It's been pretty cool. But it takes time, right? And you have to work at it. You have to nurture it, right? You have to water it. You got to make sure it gets light. You have to pull off the dead stuff and all that. You have to work at it. And it's the same thing with our relationship with Christ. You have to work at it. Get rid of some heavy baggage you've been carrying. Just take it to the cross and say, God, take this from me. I no longer want to be like this. I don't want to act like this. I do not want to carry these burdens any longer. We're not made to carry that stuff, guys. Just dump it at the cross. Just give it to Jesus because he says he'll take it. So don't carry it around. I won't share that story. Let's go on. Okay, so Christ has broken down all the barriers for everybody. So in verse 12 it says, since God chose you to be his holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now all of these things, you know, he uses kind of like the clothe yourself. That's kind of like that shirt that you like to wear all the time because it's comfortable. So now he's telling you to take that old shirt off, put the new shirt on. Because this new shirt will get rid of all the old stuff and it'll bring all these new things that we just talked about here. Your new shirt will give you mercy, it'll give you kindness, it'll give you humility, gentleness, and patience. I remember early in my walk, I was dumb enough to pray for patience. I learned very quickly what that does to you when you do that. Because he puts you in situations to see how you're doing with your patience. So now I don't pray for patience anymore. I'm like, thank you for the patience that I have. That's what I say. I'm like, don't pray for that. You can. I'm just kidding. But it's just ironic that when you do that, situations will, okay, let's see. You've been working on it? How are you going to handle this one? So make allowances for each other's faults. Come on, man. We're not perfect, okay? Nobody in this room is perfect, okay? Might be the best people on the planet, but you're not perfect. And you may say something or you may do something that offends somebody or make somebody upset. Forgive them, okay? Can't carry that stuff. That bitter root will come back. Guarantee it. If you stay angry, bitterness will come. Next thing you know, you'll find bitterness in everything. So forgive one another. It's written here in a book, so it must be pretty important, right? Forgive each other of your faults and forgive anyone who offends you. My message before was going to be on spirit of offense, but I changed my mind. Because the whole world seems to have it right now, and it's just getting worse. So I was like, you know what, we'll talk about that, but I didn't want to do a whole message on offense. But we're supposed to make allowances for each other's faults. It's not easy, again, not easy, right? But we're to forgive one another. Just let it go. You know, the best thing you can do is talk about it. Get it out in the open. Talk about it. Say, man, I was offended by that. Okay, let's talk about it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Or maybe I did. And here's why, or whatever. But work it out. That's what we're supposed to work it out with each other. We're supposed to love each other. Hello? You can't love somebody if you're nitpicking everything, right? Because now you have that bitterness or the anger because of what you said or did. One of the isolated Christians that we know, let's say, he's out on an island by himself. And got offended months ago. Can't seem to let it go for whatever reason. Don't know why. Talked about it, but just can't get over it. He's going after who said it as opposed to why it was said. or why it was brought to your attention. He's bitter about it and just can't let it go. But then again, have you been in the Word? Because if you were, you would be softening up. Going, you know what? I'll take a better look at it. And I was in the wrong. Thanks for showing me. Right? Because if we came to you, something, you were doing something and you knew you did it, you'd probably fess it up, right? Go, hey, Mel, you've been doing this. Okay, man, thanks for checking on me. Thanks for this. Thanks, man, I appreciate it. Would you be offended that I brought it up to you? See? See, it's all part of it. Because when, as a seasoned Christian, it gets easier to do. Just going, maybe he's having a bad day, or really was my bad. I really do need to address that. I'm sorry. I didn't see it the way that everybody else did. I'm sorry. What's wrong with that? Enough said, you move on, right? Bitterness is gone. We can move on. You don't have to just sit there and dwell on it day after day after day after day. Who did it? Who said it? I got to know. What does it matter? Why don't you look in the mirror and see what you did? Otherwise, nobody would say anything. And by the way, nobody knows anyway. But in that person's mind, they think everybody on the whole planet knows what they did. But nobody knows. There's only two or three people who know the whole story. But he's stuck. Man, she's comfortable, isn't she? Right? Okay, so forgive. Forgive, just like Christ forgave us. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So think about that. Think about what a mess you were when God found you. Your sins have been forgiven. He doesn't dwell on your sin. And he knows what you did or what you said or how you treated people your whole life or whatever. He knows, but it's gone. He doesn't hold a grudge. It's a good thing, right? Because if we got what we deserved, which would be hell, God's forgiven us. So above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds all of us together in a perfect harmony. It's love. I should have done a search on how many times love is in the Bible. Probably a lot, obviously. So love binds everything together. So when you're reading the Word and you're doing this, you're going to have more love. Fruits of the Spirit are going to increase everything. You're going to have more kindness. You're going to be a better person. God changes you from the inside out. You know the cool thing, too? You get to keep your personality. You know, you can still have your same personality, but he changes your character. It's like, okay, he's a fun guy, but now he's got a different look on things. Christ is changing. So let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts.
Let it go.
Exactly. Let it go, because you won't have the peace if you don't. If you're carrying all this stuff around, you're not going to have peace. You're going to be worried about everything. And worry will kill you. Isn't that weird? It just wears on you, and it stresses you out, and stress will kill you. All because you're worried. You just worry, worry, worry. Let it go, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. But trust God and be thankful. So two things we have to do. Trust God and be thankful. Have a heart of gratitude. You know, it's easy to be thankful. Just do an inventory in your own personal life of the blessings that you have. And it doesn't have to be material things. You can relationships, you know, family members, although some don't want to claim their families. But that's what God gives, right? So if you do a personal inventory and you think about that, when you're feeling down, going, you know what? I am thankful, God, because this is what you've given me. Thank you. Thank you for the blessings. I have a roof over my head. I have a job. Whatever you have, do an inventory. Each person, think about that stuff. Think about how God's been good to you. We have blessings upon blessings. We're in one of the best countries in the world, even though it's as jacked up as it is. It's still one of the better countries in the world. Boy, I'd hate to see some of the ones that are on the low end of the scale. So always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. The worship music, you know, when you're singing, it's alive. Have you guys heard that song, We the Kingdom, it's Jesus Does? Have you heard that one? I heard it twice today. I guess it was something I was supposed to talk about, but I want to share the lyrics with you. It's kind of a slower song, but it's really, really good on what God has done. It says, who tells the sun to rise every morning, colors the sky with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan and comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us his Son, praise to the Spirit who's living within us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was, because that's what Jesus does. Who understands the heart of a sinner, showers his grace over all of our mistakes, washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. I believe that he does. Who sings a song of sweet forgiveness, who stole the keys of hell and the grave, who has the power to save, Jesus does. Isn't that awesome? And it goes on and on and on. It's a really good song. And I heard that today. I was just outside. I had my earbuds in, just kind of working in the yard, and just thinking how cool God is, and just all the good stuff that's going on and we get to be part of. I was just praising him all day long. So speaking of the colors, have you guys noticed the sunsets the last few days? I know you have, Mel. You showed me some of the stuff. But yesterday morning, did you guys see the sun halo? Did you see that? It was like all the way around the sun. It was really cool. It was early morning. It was a rainbow around the sun, yeah. It was really cool looking, but you had to look up to see it. It's amazing. And sometimes I think God's just showing off sometimes, you know. And I love that kind of stuff. So yesterday was really cool. It's like, wow. You don't see those very often, but they're pretty cool. Okay, so sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs to thank God for it. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him, God the Father. That's good, isn't it? Whatever you do or say, remember, people are watching, especially if they know you're a Christian. They're just waiting for you to slip up so they get, aha, I knew it wasn't real. I've had the ahas early in my work, in my walk. Yeah. But it trudged on, right? I'm getting better. Maybe by the time I'm 100, I might be a decent guy. Maybe. So, just a review here. Paul offers a strategy to help us live out the gospel day by day. So the first one was imitate Christ, be compassionate, and have a forgiving attitude. Number two, let love guide your life. Number three, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Four is always be thankful. Keep God's word in you at all times. Live as a representative for Jesus. That's kind of the summary of this chapter. So I thought, you know, Paul wrote this letter from prison. He never went to this church. It was amazing the impact that he had on the people just through a letter. And the letters were passed around from other churches and things like that. But it's amazing what words can do, right? Kindness can go a long way, especially nowadays.
Gratitude will change your attitude.
That's it. Is that a t-shirt? So for a representative, Let's keep in mind people are watching. Do the best you can be. You will be better if you're trying to get the word of Christ in you. Walk in your faith. Walk this thing out. It's not going to be easy. And when you get off track, get back on track. You fall down, you fall forward because it's easier to get back up. You fall backwards, it may be a while. I'm not saying we're not going to slip up because we're going to. Remember, we're at war with our nature, the old nature, the new nature. It's a war every day. Which one are you going to choose? Each day. It's a fight. It's your choice. Christ is with us everywhere we go. We have somebody who wants to help us every single day. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to ask if there's anybody here who doesn't know Christ, who has not been born again, say something. Step out in faith that Christ has got you, because he does. Maybe he's tugging on your heart. Maybe you just need prayer for something or anything. Anything at all. We have people here to pray with you. Anything you may be carrying, whatever it is. See Randy, see myself, see all these guys can help you out. Ladies, there's plenty of ladies that want to pray with you. Remember, it's not weakness if you ask for prayer, okay? It's strength. You're inviting God into your mess, and he wants to help. Amen? Amen. That's all I have, guys. So I just want to say a quick prayer. Father God, thank you for tonight. And just thank you for all you're doing, God, and all that we get to be part of. So just help us in our walk, God, because sometimes our walk gets a little crazy and we get off track. Just get us back on track, God. Give us the strength to ask for help when needed, Jesus. So we just thank you again in your mighty, mighty name. Amen. And that's all.